Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And welcome to the Monday Night Master Debaters. It's another Monday. We're ready to roll. I got a great cast of characters here, and we are might hit on some current events shit because there's a lot going on. But the whole plan of this is to get outside of that. My man Hank from the 643 Conspiracy Podcast does a conspiracy show, as his name says, and then also does a Wednesday night wrap up, which is a sports talk show. So I had the honor of being on a couple weeks ago, and I'd like to honestly talk a little sports industry, cards, fun stuff like that. And in typical Monday night, who knows where we're going to end up. But Hank, welcome aboard, my friends.
Thank you for having me back, brother. Glad to be here.
Hey, I appreciate it. How's the show going?
You know, it's really doing well, man. Complete different realm of podcasting. I feel like, you know, I've evolved into since the last time I was blessed to be on the Monday Night Master Debater. So I feel like I'm like a official Master Debater now because I've been on twice. So I'm using both hands.
Oh, man. Dude, watch out. We call that the switch hitter.
Dude's going skiing.
I'm a great camping buddy.
Oh shit. And it wouldn't be complete without our favorite Fed, John, from How in the Hell Did We End Up Here podcast. What's up, buddy?
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Good, man.
Good.
I heard you you've been on the road lately.
Yeah, a little bit. I was in Florida. Went in Thursday, came back out today actually. Drove out a little bit last night, I guess. And then finished up today, so here I am. But I'm here. Took a nap. I'm ready. So,
y'all guys enjoy this three day weekend we had.
Man, I wish I was driving the whole time.
I mean,
thanks for rubbing that in, though.
Other than the guy that obviously had to drive.
Yeah. What'd you get into this weekend, Rye?
Man, just actually, right now I'm repainting my kitchen because I had this brilliant idea to paint it all white. And when you cook as much as I do and I fry things, every single splash that goes on the cupboard, it just stains it. Yeah. So I'm painting them black, and then I'm going to hit it with some clear coat. And then I'm going to put some wood, like I want to do like wood, like stained wood countertops. So I'm going to try and change the whole thing up, man. I want to bring Conspiracy Kitchen back. Like, I want to talk about the CIA, how they're, doing horrible things to, you know, all kinds of different people while I'm showing you how to make like, this new thing that I'm really obsessed with, taco wings, you know, all kinds of different like stoner type foods and continue to talk about, conspiracies, man. It was a fun thing when Brandon and I were doing it. And, I want to make my kitchen look nice, dude. It's a goal of mine to have like a kitchen, like a professional, like Gordon Ramsay style kitchen, stainless steel, black wood, all kinds of cool stuff like that. So, do you guys cook much? Matt, do you cook a lot like for yourself?
I used to, when I was married, I grilled, smoked meat, cooked all the time. Now that it's just me, it's like, it's not worth the effort. So
you don't enjoy maybe smoking and cooking? No,
I just don't. Smoking just takes a while, especially, I do a charcoal. So, I mean, that's right. That can be a, half a day event. But yeah, right. I lost the interest. I don't know what it is, but I make it as simple as possible these days. I'm easy to please when it comes to food.
Dude, I cook a big meal every weekend. Usually I like to theme up, when I'm watching UFC, they were in Paris this weekend. I made a French style steak. It was real nice little brandy, you know, sauce on top of my steak. It was good, dude. You know,
yeah, just I listen every time. Tuesday to you and Ghost on Cunt talk about what you ate over the weekend, and I'm sitting there drooling like, oh, yeah, that sounds so good, but I'm too fucking lazy to do it.
Yeah, it's worth it, man. It's worth it.
No, it is. You know, it really is. But again, I cook for myself 90% of the time. Other than that, it's my 10-year-old who has you know, the most bland palate ever. If it, you know, like spicy
dino nuggets,
it's like mild taco sauce, you know. So I gotta be so like plain with the kid. It's tough, but yeah, I have a buddy actually who has a an old friend from back home. Instagram page is called My Friends Eat Good, and this dude, man, he can cook. He's grilling, cooking all the time. He's one of those guys, man, that was a bachelor for the longest time and just cooked to the nines. Every time we went to his house, you're never disappointed. He used to host the UFC fights for us, and nice. Every time it was a different adventure. So yeah, I live vicariously through you all.
What about you and Hank and John? Do you guys cook much? Like, you know, like you go all out for food and things like that?
Typically like 4 or 5 times a week for me for dinner. Yeah. Yeah, you know, but it could be something as simple as just throwing a bunch of stuff in the crock pot, letting it heat up the whole day and coming home.
Sometimes that's the best, dude.
A house that smells good. And other times it's, you know, if I'm home all day, then it's, you know, working off of whatever I have. So, but yeah, I love to cook. Not a big baker, but I love to cook.
Yeah, baking's kind of gay.
You just have to be too exact to be a baker.
Like, yeah. I thrive on that. I can bake like a motherfucker, man.
Not me.
Really?
Like, oh, you gotta be dude. Desserts? Desserts are like cooking, specialty.
When I'm cooking, it's like, taste it. A little bit spicy. Let's put some more in, some of this in, or not spicy enough. You can play around with it instead of, you have to have a cup of flour is a cup of flour. Like, you can't go any little or any more than.
Right.
Than, you got to be exact.
Yeah, I don't have any attention span to bake.
Yeah, man. Well, as fine of a kitchen you're going to find in my area, billionaire funded, like this dude that came in and bought the town I was living in. He sunk a lot of money into this cafe that he could, so he could bring people to show off to, that, you know, he bought this town and lord over these peasants, these redneck fools and shit. So, but I've cooked for billionaires. I've cooked for legislators, senators. I've cooked a private meal for Asa Hutchinson, the former governor of Arkansas and a current candidate in the Republican primaries. I used to really love to cook. Working in that restaurant killed it, because the kitchen vibe, I'm just not cut for it. Good at letting shit go quick enough. I hold a grudge and I get pissed off quick.
And people are dicks in the restaurant industry, man.
Dude, for no reason. For no reason.
We know you haven't worked for a certain family because you're here tonight. You haven't worked for the Obamas.
No, that's very true.
Or got a bad track record with chefs.
My wife cooks almost every night of the week. I try to help out on the weekends while I'm home, but It's a home cooked meal almost every day you come over here. I love cooking still. I can, you know, make some mean soups and casseroles and make a mean pot of spaghetti or whatever. But I really like grilling. Really like letting meat marinate overnight and slapping that shit on the grill all day. And just I'd like to cook for my family, but I don't like cooking in a professional environment anymore.
Yeah, it's the worst, man. I worked in restaurants for like 12 years, and I have this idea in my head that every head chef is a prick.
Yeah,
like that's how it see, is.
When you say that you want a professional kitchen in your home, I feel that in the deepest recesses of my soul, because I attribute all of the success I had in that restaurant to the fact that they had the equipment, they had the product, the produce, right. They had the utensils and all of that, and I got to come in and just use what my dumb ass has taught myself through life with what they've got available, and was able to produce shit that I don't eat a lot of crazy shit, but I would come up with these dishes that people who do have a mature person palate, not that of a 4-year-old, they find the shit good. And so, I mean, I was able to put together some amazing dishes that I was really proud of at the end of the day. Like, you know, it's really not me. I was just playing with the, if you're going to go to Walmart and spend $5 on a ribeye, it's not going to be the same no matter what you do to it than that $60 New York strip that I was going to cook with at that cafe. You know, completely different qualities of meat. And
I'll tell you right now, a ribeye costs about $24 right now at Walmart.
You got a truck that shows up every weekend at a supermarket down here. You get 10 ribeyes for $20.
But see, you're in an area where meat markets aren't uncommon.
They're not very good, though. It's just you get a lot. You get 20 ribeyes or 10 ribeyes.
Like human meat
or whatever.
Yeah. Like, we have people who process meat around here. Like, if you have a head of cattle or if you've killed some deer or whatever, we have people like they taxidermy and then process meat. But we don't have like a legitimate butcher. Like somebody we can go to, like you would traditionally think you would when you think of a butcher, you know, a butcher shop. I wouldn't know where to go to see a butcher. That would be amazing if you could just walk in and get really quality cuts of meat, you know.
Yeah, man. Do you get good meat in Massachusetts there where you're at?
It depends. You can get it from like locally. You know, from some of the farmers, they sell their own beef and you can, that is like jackpot. Other than that, it's grocery stores, which is garbage.
Well, you know, it's interesting, man, because like, you know, we talk all the time. I don't know what you eat on a day-to-day basis. Are you meat heavy? Like, do you go hard on meats or do you?
I eat meat every dinner for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like beef usually or chicken?
Yeah, beef or chicken. Not a big pork guy.
Yeah, it's gross. What about
seafood?
Not much. I like swordfish. That's about it.
Okay.
What about shark? I would imagine being in Massachusetts, your availability to that stuff is pretty open, right?
Well, it's more out east. Once you get more inland, it's not as, you know, it's not like the fresh stuff you'd get if you're, say, out in Boston.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's available out here, but I don't even like lobster. I mean,
think about how I
love seafood, but seafood that I have to eat with like a knife and a fork. The big thing out here, probably where you are too, Hank, is crawfish.
Oh yeah.
And I hate crawfish, it's so much work for like, it's
such a pain in the ass for such a little piece of meat.
It is.
It's worth it.
And then like everybody at your table is just slurping and it just sounds disgusting. And it's like,
you get it all over the place.
I fought for 10 years to teach my kids not to eat like that. And you guys are
sitting, come on, yeah. John, you know the experience. By the time that you're sucking on the fucking crawfish head, you're doing gone through 2 30-packs. It don't fucking matter what you're doing. Right.
That's a good point.
That's why you lay out the newspaper everywhere.
Crawfish boils, I'd rather have the corn, honestly, than the crawfish.
And the sausage and the potatoes, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, man. I'll sit there and I'll peel crawfish with you all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here they actually sell it, they serve it like frozen, but it's all the tails that are all cut up, you know.
And no, you can just throw that. You gotta, if them bitches ain't wiggling, I don't want them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know, dude. I can use like, I don't know if you've ever had like cornbread or like hush puppies with the crawfish meat in it, but that's delicious.
Well, I mean, I know that. I'm not saying I'm above frozen, frozen meat. If we're gonna boil some crawfish, if I gotta have them sons of bitches trying to crawl out the pot,
right?
They gotta suffer.
Yeah,
suffering that makes them taste better.
It's their tears, the secret ingredient.
What do we got here?
I don't know
what that was.
I know you said you wanted to get into some baseball talk. You've been keeping up with the way the league's turning out?
A little bit. Hold on here. I was trying to find something.
The race for the NL MVP is going to be really fun to watch coming through this last almost month and a half of the season. Mookie Betts and
it better Mookie not be Betts
and Ronald Acuna are at each other's throats. and they're both playing out of this world. But if they don't, watch out, a Kyle Seager could be right there on them because he's been on fire for the last month straight.
Yeah. But yeah. Acuna's got 60 stolen bases or whatever.
Yeah, he's him
from everybody else.
Yeah, he broke a record this year. And you know how the league loves to play on the storyline.
Yep.
And honestly, if you ask me, Acuna deserves it. Mookie
and they're the best team in baseball right now, too.
But you can honestly say that without him, they're not the same team.
And that's what I mean with them being the best.
With Mookie Betts, you've still got not to say that Atlanta doesn't have superstars, but they're playing with cats like Orlando Arcia.
Yeah.
Cats you've never heard of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big.
They've taken Matt Olson and put him back in the conversation for MVP because he just hit his league tying 44th home run yesterday.
Well, you seen the stat that the top five or top six Atlanta Brave hitters have more home runs combined than like something like 17 of the Major League Baseball teams total for their
that sounds right.
Yeah. For their teams.
Well, what I find funny is I remember it like it was yesterday, Hank, one of your first Wednesday shows, you and Drew were talking about how, you know, the Rays are just running away with it. They're on pace to set the, you know, Major League record for wins. And then reality set in and shit happened. And then you get to this whole Wander Franco situation. And it's like, sure. Man, talk about shooting yourself in the foot.
And then Luis Urias, the left-handed pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers this morning, was just arrested on domestic abuse charges. And
maybe he and Wander Franco can share a cell.
Well, that's it. And this is his second time, too.
Yeah. They're trying to be like football players, dude.
Ryan, baseball is bad. This guy, I don't know if you followed it at all, but this guy Wander
Franco. Matt, we might need to collab on an episode of like baseball bad boys.
Yeah, like, this dude, right, he's like 21, superstar, just signed a massive contract. And then all
he's
of a
the
sudden,
face of the franchise in his third year in the league.
Yeah. And all of a sudden he's getting two accusations at him with underage girls.
Well, didn't he put pictures of him and the girl on Facebook?
She did.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah. She put it all up, then took it all down. He's saying he's being extorted and that her and her mother lied to him and told him, you know, she was 18 when she was really 16.
But the Rays have done everything but remove his shit from his locker. They have removed him from their roster. I believe they've already had lawyers come in and they're active. Either they've already have or they're actively trying to figure out how to get the contract voided if he is indeed found guilty. Which I feel like they have every right to do because
the
player.
Problem, Hank, the problem is that the justice system's different down there.
Sure.
Down there, it's not a prison offense for this. What it is that these disputes, from what I read, are settled in a monetary value. So he can be guilty and just have to him and the family agree to a settlement number. And that's the end of it. No jail time.
Can you honestly see the league letting him come back in if he was found any kind of guilty?
The big problem is going to be the players' union.
That's what I'm saying.
Union is the one that is.
Well,
like,
and I don't know. I mean, Marcell Ozuna has a job.
There's a lot of players who have jobs.
But you saw it with like a Trevor Bauer, right? I mean, he got 2 years.
He'll be
doing what he did. And so I don't know, baseball's a lot different than football when it comes to this stuff. There, it seems like they act right away.
Well, baseball's biggest hook that they hang their hat on is that it's a gentleman's sport. There's a understood code that you're not going to intentionally try to cheat your fellow baseball player.
And so an unspoken code, right?
Yeah.
The unwritten rules.
Yeah. Right. Like pretty much it's a privilege to be here, not a right. So you better, you know, uphold the sanctity of it type shit. And then once
Do you think that might be why it's not very popular, like nationwide? I know they call it America's pastime.
I know that may be easy for you to see coming from the, because I know you like to focus on UFC. Baseball is a lot more popular than you might be have led to believe. Like, it might not be the foremost popular sport here in America.
It's third, right? It's football, basketball, then baseball, yeah. Right?
I mean, and depending on who you're talking to and what time of the year it is, I honestly feel like that metric's changed. Because, I mean, we're about to be going into the playoffs, and then that's going to be the main topic, because you're just going to have the football season starting up. You know, basketball's not going yet. It's going to be, baseball's going to be king for a few months until the playoffs wrap up. But
the biggest knock against baseball, too, is how long it took. Like,
well, they've shaved so much time out of the game with the pitch clock.
4 hours to 2 hours and 15 minutes.
But down in places like Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Dominican, Venezuela, Honduras, all of the Southern American, even into the Caribbean.
Don't forget Asia, Hank.
I'm not.
Yeah, it's huge over there.
I'm just talking at the moment from the major league perspective. You have entire cultures that children understand that the only chance of them to ever have a life outside of poverty is baseball, because of a few players that back in the day that broke through, like Aroldis Chapman, like Yordan Alvarez, and all these other kids that pretty much had to literally flee dictatorships to play baseball, and were good enough to have a story so that other kids would want to come and do the same thing.
Well, and the ultimate one, Hank, is the Hernandez brothers, right? You look at Orlando El Duque Hernandez, who, if people aren't familiar with his story, he tried multiple times to get here from Cuba, and he ended up finally getting here on a raft from Cuba, landed in Florida, ended up playing and winning a World Series with the Yankees, and it was kind of like a dream story.
I think the best thing that the MLB has done as well in the past few years is really, not Wander Franco-wise, but the rest of them have really embraced the youth, like showing up to the Little League World Series, you know, making a presence down there, doing the Field of Dreams game, you know, all that stuff has really kind of re-endeared. I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm going to use it anyways, re-endeared themselves to the youth of America, the parents, you know, just being able to show up like that. Cause you don't see that really in, you know, there's not a little YFL football series final or whatever that's televised like the Little League World Series is, or same thing with basketball or hockey or soccer or anything like that. But baseball has done a real good job about showing up to those games and making a presence in those kids' lives, international and national.
Sure.
Yeah. And they started the RBI program, which is working with the inner city kids to try and promote baseball too. So they've been working hard. But like you said, Rye, in America, it would probably be third, but globally, I think it's a little different.
Go ask some kids in Taiwan or Japan or Korea how they feel about baseball.
See, that's the thing. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting how different groups of people view different sports. Like, you know, football is only big here in the United States, right? It's not really, and see, you
know. I have to disagree with you once again, my friend. Canada has a very successful, long-standing football league. Sure, it's not on the level that the American Football League is, but what really is outside of a European football, traditional soccer, what we call soccer, what's not better than America in sports? Europe has a
hockey. They're better in Canada. They're hockey.
Well,
their thing,
I forget about hockey, man. Like, I've been to one hockey game my whole fucking life, dude.
Because we're Americans. Hockey sucks here. But the United States has Europe, the NFL, has a really the XFL, football. College football, and then everything else is like way. I've never even
Isn't
heard
there
of Canadian
a, Ryan, there's
football.
USFL too, right?
Yeah, dude. And like, what
I will
the fuck?
Tell
Canadian
I will,
football.
I will plant my flag in the fact that live hockey is the best sporting event live, period.
It's very exciting.
Dude, I will say that it was
I don't care
so
what anybody
cool.
else says. Live hockey is the best sport.
Compared to watching it on television, it's night and day. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Hey, speaking of football, have you guys ever heard of Operation Flagship? So no, this is from 1985. Listen to this. This is an interesting little scam the police ran for Super Bowl tickets.
3,000 wanted persons sent invitations to a party and a football match, but they didn't know that the offer to see the Washington Redskins in action had come from the police department.
They're queuing for a free ticket to watch the Redskins football team, a chance few Washington people could resist, which is exactly what the local police were banking on. They'd sent out invitations to pick up tickets for yesterday's game to the last known addresses of 3,000 criminals on the run. The operation took weeks to organize. It started soon after dawn yesterday. Waiting in the wings was the SWAT team, armed policemen ready to pounce.
Got Redskins on our side.
The smiling lady gently steering this man along the corridor is a policewoman. So are the cheerleaders. Most officers carried a gun, including the Indian chief and the man who played the chicken. Claiming your free ticket was easy. All you needed was proof of identity, which the police checked with the team upstairs.
Ralph Edward Cockrell, C-O-C-K-R-I-L-L.
Confirmed.
Another winner, Mr. T.
What a marvelous occasion. The lucky winners, overcome at the prospect of watching their favorite team play, waltzed off to claim their free tickets. But the master of ceremonies was a senior policeman.
My boy's sick. Dude. My boy's sick. Glock-a-doodle-doo, motherfucker.
Jeez.
Isn't that called like entrapment or something?
No, because the entrapment's more along with the crime, right? This was just they're already criminals.
Yeah, they had warrants entrapment, out for them. Yeah. Entrapment, they have to get you to commit a crime purposefully.
Yeah, this is just reeling up idiots.
Which if that's entrapment, then how the fuck did they make a whole career about fake hookers and arresting all these dudes that were just trying to get them some lunchtime coochie?
That's nasty. I want to go back to this Canadian football thing. I can't get over that. Can anyone name a professional Canadian football player?
I know there's one from
Rocket Ismail. Rocket Ismail played in the Canadian Football League.
Doug Flutie
was huge. Yeah.
Doug Flutie owned the Canadian Football League.
I can't name any current CFL guys.
Heisman winning quarterback for Texas Longhorns that went on to play for
Vince Young.
Yeah, Vince Young played in the Canadian Football League. A lot of American players that either don't make it or get too old for whatever reason, they go play in Canada. Europe or has Europe, their own. Hank. Yeah.
League too.
Yeah. European.
Yeah.
Football
Europe
league.
Has some old like football teams in like Madden 2001 and stuff like the Thunder and all.
There's going to be
NFL team there. There'll be an NFL team there within.
They're working on it and they're working on getting one in Mexico.
Yeah. Cause they're trying to, that's why they're putting these games there.
But
Jaguars
watch this.
Go to Europe and I don't know who's going to go to.
Probably the
it
Cardinals.
Wouldn't surprise me to see Major League Baseball expand internationally too, because they've been playing games in London as well.
Well, they got to try and compete with the fucking Saudis.
But they play in Japan also. They play in England.
I don't know if the Major League Baseball plays legitimately sanctioned baseball games in Japan. That's I'm not sure, because I know there's not necessarily friendly
feelings between the two. Hank.
Yeah.
The first series of the year used to be in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they used to
I'm showing my age, bro. I'm sorry.
They still do tour, John, with the All-Stars.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they do these international tours in November and December, where they'll take a bunch of players that didn't make the playoffs and go, you know, internationally and tour and do these games against like local cops and local pro teams and things like that. But it's amazing. I mean, you think about it, and every sport now seems like it's gotten much bigger internationally. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where there's so much money to be made that everybody's trying to dip their finger in the pot.
Then you have things like rugby, though, that are huge in everywhere else. I mean, like Australia, it's huge.
I can't figure out right is cricket. Mm.
Cricket's kind of gay.
That thing
dude.
Is huge.
Lacrosse.
The game is huge in like England and India, and I don't understand it.
Lacrosse is kind of gangster though, man.
Yeah, but is it?
It's soccer. Yeah, it's soccer with fucking murder sticks.
Yeah, but then like you get in trouble if you hit someone with the stick. It's like hockey. It's almost, right?
I don't know. It's getting real popular though because it's made its way west real quick.
Rugby,
I don't know. You guys live in different areas than I do, I guess.
Rugby's like, actually really big at the university an hour away from me, Arkansas State University. While they might be getting their ass whooped 73-0 by Oklahoma on the football field, they actually have a nationally ranked rugby team year in and year out with a lot of transfer students from New Zealand and Australia and other European Eastern places.
Yeah, college has big. I know my brother-in-law used to play.
And you wouldn't think that for bumfucked Egypt, Arkansas, rugby would be a hot spot. But like, we have legitimate talent come to Jonesboro, Arkansas to play rugby. Or at least we did 10 years ago. I don't know about now. But
yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird. And like, you think about all the sports that people don't really talk about. Curling. Curling is one of my favorites to watch, dude. It's fucking epic.
Why? Because you.
Because you
makes
know
you look like it. You're like physical athlete.
I just think it. That guy I'm not like, a physical athlete.
Those guys look like the everyday guy. Like they're not.
They're dads.
Yeah, dad bods with brooms is all it is.
They rolled up in the minivan. Dude,
I think it's just an interesting idea, dude. With baseball, I mean, come on, guys. Baseball people are not athletes. They're not. Dude. I'm sorry. I know. There's three guys that are athletes.
I'm not sure you understand how big a professional outfield is.
Dude, I used to play baseball, man. How hard? Look at the best baseball players.
You stopped when you were 12.
But the best baseball players.
Those fences were 100 feet.
The best baseball players, how far do they got to run?
Really fast for
90
feet.
Do you see the shape of these guys now? You don't have. It's not the 80s anymore where you have like Steve Balboni and John Kruk.
Yeah, I mean, they're not
granted, you have a Daniel.
No, you got Bryce Harper.
You have a Daniel Vogelbeck, who is a the round mound of rebounds. But you look at guys like Bryce Harper and
Corbin Carroll.
These guys are savages now. Adley
Corbin
Rushman,
Carroll, Jackson Holiday, Trey Turner.
Dude, I hate LeBron Slenderman. James, but LeBron James is 20 times the athlete, maybe 100 times the athlete than the best baseball player out there. Like straight up.
Well,
and I hate LeBron James.
What are you considering an athlete?
Someone that can run, move fast, hit hard, do things quick. Like that's
a lot of baseball players were football players too, Rye.
Right.
Just like basketball players. So, I mean, they're just as athletic. It's just the game doesn't require the long
skill to be athletic.
The longevity.
If this was the 80s and you were still
quick, explosive skills. And the hardest thing to do in any sport is hit a round ball with a round bat, hit it square.
Ryan, I'm going to ruin your point with one point right here, with one person. The greatest basketball player to ever play the game was Michael Jordan. He went and tried to play baseball. And he failed at it.
He looked
because,
foolish.
But he was a superior athlete. It's a skill set. It's not athleticism.
He was trained athletically in a different skill set.
Exactly.
To say that baseball players aren't athletic is to say that marching band has no skill compared to football.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that they're not skilled. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they're not like peak athletes.
Well, then you tell Ronald Acuña he's not skilled when he's the first player to steal 60 plus bases in a season since fucking Walter Ironside in 1802 or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
are you saying they can't dunk a basketball or they can't catch a pass?
I would
Brady or.
Matt, so there's a clip floating around of Mookie Betts and a girl. I think she's a professional women's basketball player, and they're doing like a shooting challenge, and Mookie Betts whoops her ass.
Right. But like, think about like.
But he's not an athlete, Ryan.
Running fast, right? Running for a long distance, running quick.
Tracking
lifting
a
weights.
Ball that's over 100 feet in the air. What moving about, at over 100 miles an hour, that's the size of your fist, and
Ryan,
you
what
have
about
to.
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt.
He runs for 8 seconds, and that's
in a straight line.
In a straight
no
line.
Turns.
Is he a superior athlete?
I would say so. Yeah.
Then what's the difference between him and somebody who can go from home, to home in an unprecedented
seconds.
Amount of time?
Yeah, I know, and that's why I'm bringing it up. It's like. I just don't see, you know, the
look at,
best.
Look at a guy, Ry, like Ellie De La Cruz now. This guy is a freak athlete. He's 6'6", Hank, right? 6'6".
Yeah, he's 6'7", one of the two.
And runs like a 4'2", 4'3", 40.
Yep.
And he throws the ball over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is
scary. Can throw it about 100 feet across the diamond at over 100 miles an hour.
I don't know, man. You can break people down athletically in different ways. I'm not saying that baseball players aren't skilled. They're absolutely skilled in what they do. But like you have like this dude, Waldo Acosta Cortez, that is, he went from baseball to MMA. He fights in the UFC. And they say this over and over again, that this guy, he throws his overhand right, like he's pitching a baseball, right? And he got his first knockout, like, just recently, you know? That's one way to see it. Like,
okay, so you mentioned a pitcher. There was a cat a week or two ago who threw a complete game. It was a no-hitter until he had two outs in the ninth. And then the no-hitter got broke up on a solo shot. He was about to have a perfect, not a perfect game, but a complete game shutout, no-hitter. And he threw 134 pitches that night. In today's world, that's insane.
I don't know, dude. I'm saying, if you can chew dip, you can have a mouthful of sunflower seeds while you're playing a game. I think, 90% of the time you're standing still.
That's what you would say about the NFL.
But they're not getting paid for that 90% of the time.
Right? Think about the NFL.
Like DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is one of the fastest guys in the NFL, or Tyreek Hill, but then they went against Olympic sprinters and they're not doing as well. So it's all about, I think the thing about an athlete is just how you train. You train you don't train to be an athlete.
Yeah, you train to do what you're doing, right?
To your point,
no matter what it is.
Because the Philadelphia Eagles actually have an Olympic sprinter on their roster.
Yeah. I define an MMA guy to go out there and try to hit a baseball. Or I define an MMA guy to go across the middle and get lit up by Ray Lewis.
But by the same token, I'm not saying that Freddie Freeman's going to take off from Tuesday night's lineup with the Dodgers and then go score 35 for the Lakers. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, yeah, it's not Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson era when those guys were crazy playing baseball games during the week and then going playing NFL on Sunday.
Deion Sanders is the only human to ever score a touchdown and hit a home run in the same week.
Yep.
Well, and then there's that guy, even from the kid from Colorado who played this weekend from
the University. He's a true two-way player. He played the whole game at 136 corner and
snaps or something
wide
like that.
Receiver. Yep. Yeah, and you don't hear about that anymore.
It's interesting to have the conversation. To me, I think that is what is limiting baseball from getting like super popular. And you guys will say that it's popular, right? Because you're interested, your circle is interested. I'm not saying that UFC is more popular than baseball at all. Like MMA is.
I would argue it's underneath hockey
when it comes to that.
Two guys whooping each other's ass is probably the oldest sport known to man.
Sure.
Yeah.
We could take that back to Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for baseball was it hurt themselves when they did talk about the unwritten rules. And they're like, oh, well, you just don't understand because you don't play, whatever. And that was always the excuse of like, well, why can't you stand there and admire your home run? Oh, well, it's an unwritten rule. Or why can't you do, oh, well, it's an unwritten rule. But they seem, with the infusion of the youth and everything else that they're doing, they really seem to be getting away from that, which I think is helping them come back into the mainstream. Plus, I can't think of any MLB player who really has come out and taken a political stance like you have in the NBA and in the NFL. And I think that's something that's really helped them as well.
Well, let's just take it from another side. Let's look at just the big three sports, baseball, basketball, football here in America. Baseball is the only sport where you might have to play for 10 years professionally before you actually make it to the major leagues. In football, you've got a handful of years between junior high, which I know a lot of kids start when they're in elementary school nowadays. But, for us rednecks, we just start in junior high and high school. And then you're lucky enough to play a year or two in college. And then you've maybe got 10 years in the NFL, depending on your position. In the NBA, I know they got the development league, but you don't hear about people spending 7 years in the development league before they break through. You either move on or you pretty much don't. In baseball, you might have a kid that's no longer a kid. 34-year-old Drew Maggi in the Pirates system spent 13 years in the minor league system before he ever got called up. The thing about baseball is it's because it's so difficult that I believe it makes it so beautiful. If everybody could do it, it wouldn't be special. If everybody could get up there and hit the ball six times or better out of 10, then the Hall of Fame would be meaningless. Baseball is the only sport where you can go up and 3 out of 10 times gets you in the Hall of Fame.
Yep. Yep.
Football, if you have a quarterback that only completes 30% of his passes, he's getting laughed out of the league in the first year.
Yep.
In basketball, if you have a guy that only ever hits 30% of his shots, he's not going to be in the league for very long. In baseball, if you're hitting 300 year in and year out, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame after an average 10-year career.
Yep.
If you're any sort of average defenseman.
I think with that too, and the biggest thing for me, and this is coming from somebody who played at a fairly high level, the most beautiful thing to me about baseball is the fact it's the only sport out there you can't run the clock out in. You have to play all 9 innings or more. You can't
less innings if the home team is up. You know what I mean? Like, then it's done. Not with 8.5 innings.
Not in the majors. You got to play all 9 innings.
No, dude, I've watched games. I bet on baseball all the time, and they'll end it at 9, like at the top of the ninth. But they'll end it.
Yeah, one team, 9 innings. One team only gets 8.5 innings. The if the home team's winning after they pitched the top of the ninth inning, there's no need for them to do
that's
their
what I'm saying.
Three.
So like that's the only game that doesn't go to the end. That's what's strange to me. It's a weird game.
But technically it is because the other team has those final 3 outs to do what they're gonna do or they're not.
Each team gets the opportunity to have 27 outs.
Don't so then why not run up the score? Why not just be like, hey, well, we beat you guys, but let's just run up the score.
That. What good does that do, though? It doesn't help
you can't control running up the
to
score
tell this
in baseball.
Other team, fuck you. It's a gentleman's game, I know, but it's like, hey, we beat you. Let's fucking run up the score more.
You can't do that in baseball.
Yeah. That's what's whack about it.
Even if you put a position player that's never pitched a day in their life since they're 30 something years old, they haven't pitched since they were 12 in the little leagues. You can put him on the mound, and professional players that get paid hundreds of millions of dollars to hit a baseball cannot do it.
Yeah.
Ronald Acuña celebrated hitting a single off of a position player 2 nights ago.
Well, Freddie Freeman who struck him out last year? Freddie Freeman struck some, or Freddie Freeman got struck out by somebody.
Rizzo, I think. I think it was Rizzo. Yeah. Back when he was with the Cubs.
But it's impossible to run the score up in the sense that you could in basketball or football in baseball because you've got to throw a pitch and you've got to swing at it.
And you can't really guide where the ball's going to go.
And if the pitcher can't
– What about
can't
like walking a batter, you know, deliberately walking? Saying,
well, here's the deal too. You run the score up, Nolan Ryan's pitching the next outs. Night. Guess who's getting a pitch in the ribs? Everybody.
Pinch hitting, everybody. All these things, dude. It's a strange game. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that is what, like, my point of bringing all these things up is I think this is why it's not popular. And you guys will say that it is more popular, but
it's gaining popularity, right? It was
definitely
down. See, it hit its like peak in the early 2000s,
like 2001 with the Diamondbacks,
late 90s, early 2000s, and then. When they had to quote unquote clean up, it really changed the game. It slowed it down. It took
with
it
the steroids been, getting out of there.
Yeah.
Steroids single handedly saved
it
Major
saved
League Baseball
in the 90s
because baseball does not market its product or its players. You will not find Major League Baseball commercials like you will for football games or basketball games.
And you don't see major league players with the sponsorships either for the most part.
Exactly. Don't market their product. Yeah. If they marketed their product, then we wouldn't be having this conversation because it would be on equal standing. But the thing is baseball has the people that are in are all the way in. The St. Louis Cardinals are having the worst season that I've ever been alive for. in almost 33 years, and they still fill out the stadium at Busch every night.
Dude, and on the flip side, I will go with what Ryan's saying. Like, on the flip side, you look at like the Oakland A's, right? And they may have 500 people at.
Hey, go easy. That's our boy Kirby's team.
Hey, that used to be my team when they had McGuire and all that back in the 80s as well. That was the team I followed. But, you know, now, and that's the whole reason they're moving to Vegas, because they can't get the following. They can't get the fans.
It's the same problem Tampa has.
Ownership is the problem in Oakland.
And the granted, you don't have that problem in the NBA or the NFL or probably even hockey.
No, but they're also smaller stadiums.
Right.
In the NBA and NHL, much smaller stadiums. I mean, you're talking a half to a third of some baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case.
The optics may make it seem like it's an inferior product, you know, just based on the optics, based on the fans or whatever. But, you know, to anybody who has played the game or been around the game for just a long time and understand, maybe that's what it is. You understand what you're looking at a little bit more. And Ryan, I think it's the same way. Like, you have just kind of the casual fan watching UFC, and they've got two guys who are wrestling on the ground for three rounds. If my wife went and watched that, she'd have no clue what was going on. I'd be able to look and
the fans start booing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and listen, too, like, you guys all played baseball, you know, some of you higher levels than Hank. I'm not sure how far, you know,
I just played baseball into high school.
Yeah. Well, so that's a somewhat high level, right? I played, like Matt said, like, I played when I was a kid, dude. Like, I understand you can get to like college and all that. So I'm just saying, like, sticking with a sport and playing it. I was never like an MMA fighter, right? I fought kids in like bathrooms in my high school. That's what I did, right? That's what we used to do. So I was never like even an amateur, right, when it come to that. But so I get why, like, it's a passionate thing for you guys. I totally get it. But I'm saying, like, on a massive scale, that's why, like, the Super Bowl is so much bigger than the World Series, is because, like, they've done something with football, right?
Yeah, they marketed it properly.
Yeah, it's just
marketed it, and it's more entertaining, man. You know, you get you'll get six
and right, it's one game versus seven, right? I mean, there's a lot of factors, but by far the NFL is more popular than baseball. Yeah,
yeah, that's all that I was saying. No argument
there.
One thing I will say is anybody can throw on a set of pads and go hit somebody hard. Not everybody can go stand at the plate and hit a 500-foot fucking jack.
Well, Hank, that's a great segue to transition to what I have pulled up here, because have you guys seen this documentary?
This is the wildest story ever.
I watched it two nights ago.
It's called BS High, okay?
I remember when this happened in real life, like,
yeah,
when all this unfolded.
So a little backstory on this. So there's this guy named Roy Johnson, and I don't know if people are familiar, but there's this IMG Academy down in Florida.
Yep.
And this is a prep school that is basically a football program that has a school so they can keep accreditation, right? And yep. and the kids, it's basically a minor league system for Division I colleges. Yep. So this guy, you know, and that's down in Florida. This guy in Ohio came up with this idea that he was going to do this, right? So he starts recruiting these kids and gets this team together and starts playing games, but these kids have no school, right? They're living in hotels. He's not paying the bills in hotels, so they get evicted. And so he has these kids, and all of a sudden he starts it in 2018 with this place called, I think it was something Christian COH Academy or something like that. And they were tied to a church, kind of. Well, the church cut ties with them. The bishop said, we have no affiliation with this football program whatsoever. These kids don't go to our school. So they end up, this guy's whole idea was, he ended up working with this agent, so to speak, that schedules high school games. He goes, I want the hardest schedule, high school schedule in America. The guy has never really played before or anything. So these kids somehow end up playing this IMG Academy on ESPN in 2021. And IMG Academy ends up beating them 58-0. The announcers are talking all sorts of shit about this Bishop Sycamore High School. And like, what is this? This is a joke. Now, the crazy part about it is some of these kids that he was recruiting were like 20 and 21 years old. Like one of the kids went to JUCO, was on a JUCO roster, quit, and then went back and played high school ball, which if anybody understands that, he went to college, then came back and played high school. It's totally illegal. Yeah, and now if college, you think about it, yeah, you have 20, 21 year olds playing against 15, 16, 17 year old kids. And these guys are getting their ass kicked by kids.
They're out there sharing helmets.
Yes, they didn't even have enough equipment for all the kids. So as they're running off the field, they're flipping their helmet to another kid running on the field.
And wasn't the address for the school like a P.O. box or something like that?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
And he got caught a couple of different times and like kept finding ways to do it.
Yes. Well, and
kind of badass though.
The craziest, the craziest part about the whole thing, Ryan, he never broke a law. He never did anything illegal other than, you know, the fraud that he did to finance it and all the people that he didn't pay and everything.
And pitting adults against minors might
well,
be.
Well, and here you want to hear the craziest part that they didn't really hit on much in the documentary. And I want to know more about this. He made the kids when they signed up, he made him give them their name, address, and then social security number and shit.
Nice.
And then what he did, he was opened up PPP loans in these kids' names for like 20 grand a piece. One
love
kid
it.
Had two of them in his own name and didn't even know about it.
Guy's so, an evil genius. Can we zoom in on his neck? It looks like he's like an orc or something.
He's got a headset on, probably.
He's yeah, his headset's around that? His neck here. That's his headset right here. It's okay. Pulled down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Dude looks like he's got
this
tusks.
This guy is the most cocky piece of shit like I could ever think of. Yeah, they don't even show a picture of him.
And so... Because, like, the early season of high school footballs, you'll get, I don't know the proper word, interstate games. You'll get the top team in Texas playing the top team in California or the top right. team in Florida playing the top team from Texas or whatever. And so this was a big deal because, like Matt was saying, like, you're not going to a high school when you go to IMG, when you go to Modern Day, when you go to St. John's, yeah, Bishop Gorman, St. John Bosco's, schools like these. They're only schools by technicality.
And it's Ryan, that's where the Fertitas kids went. They went to Bishop Gorman out in Vegas.
That's where that Tate Martell kid went too.
Yes. They were all on the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're literally going to become a product of the sport. And then you just get a curriculum attached to it.
I think that really hurt that guy too was it was right on the heels of whatever that Netflix documentary was where they had like the three quarterbacks that they followed.
QB1.
Yeah. It was right on the heels of that as well. So I think everybody's really starting to look into these high schools because they started seeing things a little bit behind the scenes of
if they would have scored 17 points, they never would have gotten looked at twice. If they would have scored 24 or 35 to they would have been like, oh, okay, these boys might play some football. But for them to go get blanked and not even have enough helmets for the kids, like
and Hank, they had no athletic trainers. One of the kids blew out his ACL and one of the moms ran out on the field to help him. And they're like, where's your training staff? And she's like, I'm the training staff today. He's like, where's your bag and all your supplies? She's like, I don't have anything. Like, that's how bad it was for these kids. And so the craziest part about it is the quarterback, who was a decent player, older, he, after the season, got into Grambling State, which is one of the black colleges, HBCU colleges. And he gets accepted, gets a scholarship there. Then they find out that he went to this school, this scam. they had to rescind his scholarship because of, you know, he didn't meet NCAA criteria because at this Bishop Sycamore, they didn't give a shit about school. They didn't give a shit about these kids or any of the rules or anything. So these kids all wasted a year of their life, and most of them, it ended up hurting them.
Because everybody wants to be on an AAU team or own an AAU team or have something to do with something that's like an AAU team. And it just completely ruins everything for everybody.
And the reason why it's allowed to happen is because of the amount of money in high school sports, which is crazy to think about, right?
That the way
it's a bunch of adults profiting off of minors.
Well, and the colleges are good with it because they know that they're going to funnel, you know, they're going to funnel those kids to whatever school. That was the big thing about in the high school basketball, the AAU, the guy who started the whole
Sonny Vaccaro.
Yeah. His thing was like, oh, you're a Nike school? We're going to funnel this kid because he's been at Nike. Oh, you're a Reebok school? We're going to funnel this kid to you because he's, you know, he's been around Reebok or whatever. And that's all it is it's just a big money.
Didn't you play the clip on here, Matt, of Cartman slave trading the college football athletes?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I love that clip. That's so good.
He's like, yo, slaves. I mean, student athletes, you know, it's like, dude, that's what it is, man. They're literally slaves when they're playing at that level.
Yes,
this is great.
Especially now with all the NIL.
Oh, looking workers, yes, huh? I'd be willing to offer you $40 for two of the white ones and $50 for the blacks.
Are you referring to our student athletes?
Student athletes. Oh, that is brilliant, sir. Now, when we sell their likeness for video games, how do we get around paying for our slave student athletes then?
Look, there are good reasons why our student athletes cannot be paid, young man.
I ain't arguing. If they got paid, then why don't we make all our money, right?
It's the Buffaloes.
Yeah, man.
Dude, that's crazy because was that episode made before?
Yes. Oh, that's an old episode.
It's old, yeah.
Oh, that's wild. I mean, I know Colorado used to be good way back in the day, but
And they were known for paying their players.
Yep.
Were they really?
Bill Stewart and all those guys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was like UNLV of college football. They had rape, they had all sorts of rape problems out there, and
it was the wild west.
Yeah, man.
Hey, you gotta see this one. And we talked about this on Hank's show. This is one of the most gangster moves ever made in draft history, okay? So listen to this.
Card of a player who never played in the NHL. In fact, this guy, Taro Sugimoto, didn't even exist. In the 1974 NHL draft, Buffalo GM Punch Imlach conjured up a fake Japanese hockey player as a prank to pull on the league. Imlach was bored with the very slow draft process that took place by phone and wanted to spice things up. The name Taro Sugimoto came from a local Japanese store that PR director Paul Whelan drove by occasionally. Eventually, the prank came to light, and the Buffalo Sabre fans, instead of getting mad at Imlach for wasting a draft pick, ate it up. Soon, We Want Taro chants could be heard at Sabres home games, and Sugimoto custom jerseys popped up everywhere. Then in 2010, Panini released a rare Taro Sugimoto rookie card with their Score Rookies and Traded set. And it's actually quite hard to find these. Only two have ever been graded at PSA, and there have only been two recent sales on eBay, including one that sold for $115. Not bad for a prank card based on a prank player.
That's incredible. Dude, that card should be worth more than $115 if there's two out there.
Well, that you know of.
Two graded, yeah.
That's incredible. See, people need to do that. Like, that would make more sports more interesting to more people is if they, you know, and I understand that maybe it, like, degrades the integrity of the sport or whatever, but it would get more eyes on it, dude. Like, that's why, like, yeah, what is
if
the
you
most-
had to, like, draft one celebrity per draft? Or one, you know, one per, and they had you, they film them going through camp like a normal person against a pro athlete.
Right.
That but happened. Like what was the sprinter the other month? There's a sprinter that did that. He was just some normal guy from like Lithuania or whatever. And he had to run a 100-yard dash and it took him like 30 seconds when all the other, he was just some like normal guy. Nobody even realized it until afterwards. He's out there running against, I'm going to have to find it.
Well, dude, what I was going to say is, like, you know, we're talking about these great sports, right? And, you know, what is the most popular sport among, like, kind of younger kids right now?
Hot dog eating contest.
I wish it was.
Fortnite.
Fucking influencer boxing, dude. That is the number one thing that is popular with, like, dumb kids that don't pay for any of these things. But the reason that they're so interested in it is because, and boxing's boring as shit, by the way, but if you actually, like, see why these kids are into it, it's because it's people like Logan and Jake Paul, KSI, these people that have zero talent, but they are making it interesting because of the antics. You know what I mean? They need to introduce antics to these things to get more eyes on them. I mean, dude, old people love baseball. Old people love football. Old people love boxing.
Hey,
but you need to get this new generation into all this.
I'll tell you what, Rye, if more things like this happened in baseball.
Fist fights.
Yes. This was awesome.
Yeah.
This is the Tim Anderson and
Jose Ramirez.
And this dude deserved to get knocked out, by the way.
Nothing. Like dropping gloves on a baseball field. You never see that. And then he gets the KO. It's beautiful. Right on the jaw.
Yeah, it was a perfectly placed punch. They both kind of throw like women.
It started with Anderson and Ramirez.
That punch was like that.
Dude.
He just caught him right there on that ouch button.
Yep.
Hit the off switch.
I'm telling you, yeah, they need to do that. Like we've talked about it before in different sports. Like they need to have like sanctioned fighting in some sports.
Right.
Like, okay, here's 30 seconds. Just go at it, you know? Let him have at it. Let him do
Nolan
it.
Nolan Ryan is still a living legend because of the six hits he threw on Jesse Ventura.
Robin Ventura.
Same.
Jesse Ventura would be sick, though.
That would have been a WWE match.
Jesse the Body?
Yeah.
Yeah, the dude. Governor? It would be epic, though. Like, you know, if someone disagrees in baseball, you get 30 seconds per inning, right? Average fight. Last less than 30 seconds, by the way.
Yeah,
so
I mean, about hockey fights. They don't last long. I mean, it's maybe 30 seconds is a long time.
Fuck yeah, it is, dude. BKFC rounds are 2 minutes long, and people usually get knocked out in one round in those fights. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, dude, let these guys throw hands, man. Let that testosterone get out there. Make it fun. I don't know. That's just my idea. I think there's nothing that you're ever going to say when it comes to sports that a fight couldn't make it more fun. You're never going to be like, oh, I wish I didn't see that guy get.
Yeah, I wish that fight didn't happen, man. Yeah.
I think if they do that, though, you got to pause for 2 minutes and let people place their bets.
Sure.
They got to hop on DraftKings or whatever and be able to place their bets.
What if you hype up that night's fight, too? Yeah, you do a little pre-plan, like, you know, when they had that back in the day, I mean, this is probably before some of you, I know, John, you're probably with me here, but the Red Wings and I can't remember who they played, but there was a fight that was going to happen between Bob Probert and Ty Domi.
Oh, yeah. It was the Flyers. Was it the Flyers?
I don't remember if he was at the Flyers. Domi bounced around with the Rangers. Yeah, and everybody,
Rangers, Flyers, the Maple Leafs.
It was like one of the before the game started in the paper. Everybody knew these guys were going to fight that night. And it was going to, and as soon as that puck dropped, boom, they just, everybody let them have at it. And it was awesome.
That's great.
Hell yeah. We need to bring back bum fights, man.
Bum fight, just fighting, man. It's good. Like, that's the thing too with kids in elementary school, man, kids need to be allowed to fight a little bit. You know what I mean?
Dude,
like,
that's been my whole point that y'all been hearing me say since y'all been hearing me say it, man. Folks start getting their shit rocked every once in a while, and this country will course correct real quick.
Well, that's yeah, why. Dude. That's why I put my son in jiu-jitsu was just for that reason to get.
It's my favorite.
He had to. He gets quote, his ass kicked some days.
It's my favorite quote ever by Mike Tyson. You know, he says everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth.
Yep.
You got to say it like he says it, though.
Oh, dude.
Everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Like that.
Yeah, man, it's I think it's important, dude. I don't know, but
well, I agree. Everybody should be knocked out at least once.
I've never been knocked out by a person, but I think that it is important to at least get punched. You know what I mean? Like get hurt. You know, get bloodied up.
Yes.
Bloody nose.
walk your back jaw to hurts school
the next day, something like that.
After getting your ass kicked with the fat lip and the black eye, and you have to explain what happened.
Oh, the worst. You go back to school the next school. Yeah,
you gotta go back to school with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a very character building moment.
It's a whole
I used
new
to love walking around with a black eye, though. I used to really like it because it's kind of cool, dude. Like, you walk around, you're like, and people are wondering what happened.
The worst is when you get the black eye and your eye is red inside and it just looks like
and like disaster. Yellow kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Well, eventually the people that are the dickheads in life, they'll realize that you're not worth their time because you might. It's not that you're going to win the fight against them every time, is that you're going to fight that fight against them every time, and if you're going to fight back, that's too much for them. They got to have the easy win, you know what I'm saying?
That's like, the moment they decide to become police officers.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. Yeah, but to that point too, like how Matt, you're throwing your kid in jiu-jitsu. Cops need to learn wrestling and jiu-jitsu and maybe like some Muay Thai or something like that.
Fucking cops should have to be in shape at least. It's an embarrassment that you got these fat fucks that can't run, can't have no cardio whatsoever that are police officers.
Yeah, they got the taser and the gun. It's like they're going to use one of those two things, you know?
Yep.
Dude, I saw a great meme today. It was this lady and her glasses are all sideways. And she goes, ladies, I got some advice for you. She goes, make sure you never mix up your taser and your vibrator.
Ugh.
I won't do that again.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. It's crazy, dude. My sister's boyfriend yesterday, we went out for my mom's birthday. And she... You know, he was saying like, hey, dude, like how many of these security guards that are like, you know, malls and grocery stores and things like this, do you think would actually deter something bad from happening? And my dad right away goes 5%, 5% of these guys could actually do something. You know, if someone were to actually push back and be like, hey, no, fuck you. I'm going to steal this. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? You're going to call the cops? I can get out of here by that time. So it they're really just meant to be like a set of eyes, and so many people are.
It's a deterrent, Ryan. That's all it is. It's just to let you know that, well, hey, somebody's watching you.
In some states, it's not even a deterrent now. In California, you can walk in with a big old trash bag, take at least, what is it, under $1,000 worth of stuff or whatever, and you're fine.
Well, and in our malls, we got like Paul Blart. We got these fat fucks that are on Segways. And they couldn't, like you said, right? They couldn't chase you down. They couldn't apprehend anyone, even a teenager. But so what do? They use the walkie-talkie, and that's it. They're just there to have the appearance.
Right. It's a set of eyes. And even if they wanted to stop someone, what they would do is just say stop.
Yes.
The person would say no, and then just run away. And then that's
that. A lot of them have to be there just for insurance reasons.
Yeah.
Sure.
If a store or a mall is going to be insured, then the insurance company says you've got to have security guards on staff.
Well, right? So the higher
the guy who's going to work for $7 an hour, you know,
or minimum wage
is versus.
I was just going to say that because I was talking to the gym that I go to is inside of like, it's a mall, I guess. It's not really, but they have security. And I was talking with one of the security guys because he came out all pissed off one morning at like 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, what's up, man? And he's like, you won't believe this shit. He goes, these people, he's like, I'm in trouble for actually stopping someone who had shoplifted like $1,500 worth of shit. And I stopped them, detained them until the police got there. And now they want to fire me. He goes, they pay me fucking minimum wage. He goes, I have no weapons, no nothing. And I'm just trying to do my job. And now I did my job and now they want to fire me because
he should be happy. Cause next time that happens, just step aside, let the guy steal shit. Now you know that you don't have to do a damn thing. You're getting paid to stand there.
Next time, just ask guy, hey, take this for me too. I'll meet you outside. We'll meet by my car.
Let's split it.
Yeah. I want this video game. I want this video game console, but it's too much. Or I want this box of baseball cards. That's what I want to do is go rob a baseball card store. Yeah.
Dude, old friend that I had, his dad used to do that. He would go around and make friends with like grocery store, like security guards, and they would rob the banks inside the grocery stores.
Yep. Hey, Hank, I know you got a dip. I appreciate it, man. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, man, dude, I so much appreciate you having me back on here. John and Ryan, it's been great talking to y'all. I've got work in the morning, so I got to bounce up out of this thing. When the warden says it's time to go to bed, you best believe we're going to bed.
Lights out!
I ain't sleeping on no motherfucking couch tonight. Not for y'all. I love y'all, but not that much. No, but y'all can come find me on Instagram, on Facebook, 643 Conspiracy Podcast. I'm on all your major podcatchers. Also, me and Chef Kyle from the Sunday Night Secret Society podcast, we just started up a side project called Holistic Roots. It's a non-conspiratorial, non-political show. Best way I could describe it would be like our rendition of a self-help show, like real world daily things that you can apply to your life to try to move away from the system as much as possible, whether that be gardening and canning what you're growing in your garden, whether that be meditation and trying to center yourself on a spiritual level so that your body might function a little bit better, things of those natures, you know, more self-reliance, independence. So maybe you don't have to go to your grocery store for everything, kind of like a homesteading spiritual woo-woo mixture of how can we get better at living this daily life. And it's a journey for both of us, because we're both trying to put what we learn into daily, you know, practical use. So we're not just talking about it, we're actually doing it. And it's fun looking at some of the stuff, and some of the stuff make you pissed off, like when you get into like the contents of your tap water and stuff. Matt, I gotta thank you for that. You've posted that EWG.org website and talked about it. And me and Drew, we're getting ready to do a little episode on it. I've kind of broken down what's in my local water. And boy, let me tell you, it'll piss you off. It'll piss you right off. But so that's where you can find me. Once again, I'm sorry, I hate to ramble there. Fellas, it's been great hanging out with y'all. I wish y'all a great evening, and I will catch y'all later.
Be good, my man.
Take it easy, dude. Yeah, man. He's right about that. That shit'll make you mad.
Oh, dude. Yeah, you saw that. You had what? All arsenic and all that shit. I mean, it's just, it's mind blowing. And then the list.
It'll make you go bald.
Yeah. And like the episode you did on the fluoride and all that shit, it's like, man, it's not in there to benefit us at all.
Nope. Yeah, dude, like these families too that do this shit. You know, those Solvays that I told you about on the Monday Night Master Debater show last week. How the fuck do they not get in trouble, or do they not get called out? But we do if we, you know, don't you know, properly account for all of our carbon that we're putting out.
Well, it's like the Sackler family. I guess there's a new documentary on Netflix. I don't have Netflix anymore, so I got to find it on the Fire Stick. But it's called Painkiller, and it's all about the Sackler family and the opioid crisis and how they knowingly were selling heroin. Right.
Yeah. Oh, is that the one with Ferris Bueller?
I don't know who's in it. Like I said, I haven't seen it. I heard the guy, Peter Berg, did it.
Okay. Yeah.
He was on Rogan last week, and I was listening to the interview that they did, and they were talking about it. And it's unbelievable. It's the same thing they did with what was that heart medication that killed like 50,000 people that Pfizer put out? And they had to pay like $6 billion to people, but they ended up making 12, so it was a profit.
It's chump change, man.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I say this sort of tongue in cheek, but Ryan, you said you don't have the money they have, and you don't have the influence. You know, that's how they get away with it, is they have the influence and they have the money. And you know, us underlings, we don't. And that's why, dude,
John, imagine you obviously you wouldn't do this, but imagine you poison an entire city with fluoride, let's say, right? You poison it. You put so much fluoride in this river that they're sourcing their water from. And then all said and done, you got to pay $5 to those people. Right. That's what that would be like with your current bankroll.
Was it you guys who brought up on one of the Monday Night Master Debaters, or somebody else may have brought it up in a different one I was listening to, but about how they poisoned the whole city of St. Louis by putting they had these things that would spray chemicals off the top of buildings in St. Louis back in the I don't remember what year it was, but it was basically like everybody knows it. The government knew, the city officials knew, and just nobody was held accountable for it.
Yeah, man. It's sad. It's just crazy because, you know, it sounds like, you know, when people hear like, oh, they had to pay $750 million or whatever, like that sounds like a shitload. But then you look at their profits and it's like I said, it's like one of us paying $5. It's nothing.
Right.
And the amount that you know, it's not even really comparable because the amount that money can actually go to when we're talking millions and hundreds of millions of dollars that, I mean, you can't even understand how little that effect has on that bottom line. Same thing with Facebook when they got, you know, popped for data, you know, laundering or whatever the hell you want to call that. They got to pay like, I think it was like $12 million. It's like, dude, Facebook literally pisses $12 million a second. Like it doesn't matter to them when they have to do that. What do we got here?
Yeah, this is what John was talking about. The army spraying St. Louis with toxic aerosol in the 1950s. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah, it was in the mid 50s. The army used motorized blowers atop low income housing high rise at schools and from the backs of station wagons to send a potentially dangerous compound into the already hazy air in the predominantly black areas of St. Louis. Local officials were told at the time that the government was testing smokescreen that could shield St. Louis from aerial observation in the case the Russians attacked. Right? The Russians are going all the way to fucking St. Louis. If they make it that far, we're fucked. So, yeah this is another like Tuskegee type experiment.
Yeah.
More
well, dude, I was running that, you know, I did that five-part series a while back on MK Ultra, and they were literally pumping LSD in the subways in New York.
Yeah, like
back in the fucking 60s. You know, if they can do that, there's high amounts of lithium in the air in California. You know, it's like lithium is a drug that calms you down and makes you docile, similar to fluoride. So, you know, they're just doing this stuff, man. And it's just you know, look over here, look at Trump getting arrested, look at all these things. So that you don't have to pay attention to what's actually gonna, you know, really going to, you know, ruin everybody. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that and the crazy C40 city shit. I don't know if you guys, did you guys see this shit with Mayor Adams?
Was today? That something that you sent in that video? Because the one thing that
here,
I saw was
I'll
that what
play
you sent.
It right here. He, Mayor Adams, they're now going to monitor your meat consumption.
Oh,
check
yeah.
This shit out.
I'm excited to announce that for the first time in our city's history, when measuring just how much of an impact our food choices have on our emissions. First time we're doing this. We work with the C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group, and I want to take my hat off to a great corporate partner, American Express.
So,
hey, he's got a chef right next to him, though, so it's got to be good
so
food.
How do they monitor the emissions from food? Like, I eat a bowl of chili? Am I wearing a...
They're
like
going to, depending on how many pounds of meat you consume, you will be get a certain carbon tax, right? Like,
no, it's but you know, and it's things like that, that I don't know if you guys saw, but they finally started the construction on that 15 mile long, whatever in Saudi Arabia, the line. They finally started construction on that. You don't see any kind of reporting on that, but you see reporting on this kind of junk.
It's all tied together though, man. You know, my again, you know, going back to like, you know, the younger generation, my sister and her boyfriend, dude, they were talking, they went to Best Buy and they saw, you know, this $3,000 Samsung smart refrigerator and they thought it was so cool. And I was telling them, it's like, that's going to track the amount of meat that you have in your refrigerator. And they have smart toilets too, that when you take a shit, it's going to tell you how healthy you are based off of your shit. And then they're like, well, what does that matter if they tell you how healthy you are? Well, then they can hike your interest rate or your insurance rate, rather. They can hike all these things up and they can make you pay more and you know, be part of the system, man. You're
all part of this plan. And you heard him mention the C40 cities. And guys, I recommend you read this. It's called The Future of Urban Consumption in a 1.5 degree Celsius World. And it's got 68 pages, and it goes through and it tells you what their plan is. And one of their plans is that you consume 0 grams of meat.
What is 1.5 degrees Celsius? Is that like 40 degrees Fahrenheit or something?
I have no idea.
Because 0 Celsius would be freezing, 32.
I'm American.
Well,
I don't
and
know
it
that
changes.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's, I don't understand that whole system.
That would be a freezing world. That would be a very cold world, essentially. Yeah. Like, we'll say 34 degrees.
Basically, they're telling you that you'd be allowed like one flight every 3 years. I mean, it's all these crazy ideas that they have for this shit, like how they're going to control your emissions and, you know, and it's all these C40 cities. And Ryan, you were talking about it with me before when you said, hey, type in, you know, a local city by you and then type in 15 minute city and see, you know, and obviously Boston is, they're big into this C40 and all those people. It's the same concept. They've now changed it from 15 minute cities to this C40 city initiative. So anytime you guys hear C40, you know, shit's about to hit the fan.
Crazy.
Sounds like C4 almost, right? Like it's going to blow up. Like it's just an implosion.
It's just 10 times worse.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And again, it's all about control. It gets you in these little hives and then there's nowhere for you to go. I mean,
the question is always, okay, if this is what they're telling you, then what don't you know? What is it that they're hiding? Because if they're giving you this, then there's obviously something else that they're not giving you.
But the other side of it is, again, you have to go to these places, right? You have to go in these cities. I'm not going anywhere near
Boston,
New York. I mean, that's most
people will.
Yeah, it's like dangling the carrot out there for you right in front of the trap. And as soon as you take that bait, boom, the gate closes and now you're in.
Matt, dude, someone, I think it was actually Kim that mentioned this, was that there's three locations in the entire country that have like backup reserves for elites. I'll see if I can get in here to mention it. But Tucson is one of these three locations worldwide, nationwide, that has like backup reserves of like food.
It sounds like the Greenbrier setup that they had. Yeah.
Maybe that's it, dude. But that's the thing, too, is if you're in these like rural areas, if you're not 100% self-sufficient, you're going to get pushed into those areas eventually, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's so scary about all these things. Myself too. Like, yeah, I live in Tucson, but who gives a fuck, you know, cause it's, you know, I have, you know, guns, I've got bullets, I've got, you know, a decent amount of food and water and stuff stored up. But, you know, if worse comes to worse, I'm going to get pushed into one of these things too, if I don't want to starve to death. And if I can't hunt for my meat to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So.
Like,
come to Texas, Ryan. I'll host you.
Okay. I'll bring some guns and bullets.
As long as you can clean a chicken coop, we're good.
I can clean a chicken coop. I can do more than that, too.
Because the one thing on my property that's the biggest thing I hate to do is clean my chicken coop.
Yeah, I can do that. I'm a good shot, too. I can shoot some meat. It's just depending on where we're at. What do we got here?
This is that Greenbrier Hotel I was telling you about. This used to be an old Cold War bunker. And so under this hotel, this is the actual hotel here. Under it, they have this lavish compound, these massive, you know, doors, couple ton doors that are, you know, all nuclear resistant. And so if there's ever an incident in DC, these politicians would all go to this Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia. And that used to be the old getaway spot for all the DC crowd. Like you were talking about that place in Tucson, right?
Yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily a bunker, but yeah, there's something where it's like, Kim mentioned it. I'm sure she doesn't even remember it. I was going to go ask her, but she was telling me something about this stuff. And there's three locations. West Virginia must be one. I know New Zealand has a lot of bunkers for some of these elites and stuff too, but there's three in the country. And it was interesting that Tucson was one. And then you look at that show, Last Man on Earth or whatever, Last Man in the World, it's based out of Tucson. It's just weird, dude. You wonder what.
Well, then you got is it Antarctica where they have they're storing all the seeds down there as well? They've got all the.
There was one of those in Europe also.
Yeah.
That'd be like a Noah's Ark type thing.
That was what it essentially was. It was like, you know, one of everything they're supposed to have in case of an apocalypse or something happened that they would have.
Got a little elephant down there.
Future generations. Yeah.
It's like remember those pills, those little pill looking things when you put them in water and they turn into foam animals?
Yeah, they're sponges.
Yeah.
Yep. That's like those that. And, shit.
Sea monkeys.
Yeah.
Sea monkeys are wild.
Yeah. Like when you were a kid, you could use them in the bathtub, then they would like stick to the wall and shit.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember those. Those were big as a kid. Speaking of which, next week we got a toy episode, Rye.
Do we?
Childhood Toys, Monday Night Master Debaters. I'm looking I think Nico from Upstate and Bob.
Dude, I got some new cards that I'll have to show. You guys seen these things, man? Like these are these cards that I was telling you guys about, the alien cards.
What is it?
Where'd you get those from?
Is it just
Mars alien? Attacks? Huh?
What is it, their Mars Attacks brand, or what's the brand of them?
Mars Attacks, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. There's like so these are remakes. Like, check this one out, dude. Like dead alien. So these were made, the originals were made in the 60s. And like an unopened like hobby box goes for like $1,600. But I got some remakes of them. And they're just dope, dude. They got like all kinds. They even got like these ones too that are like holographic, you know, like
Oh wow.
So yeah, man. I'm pretty stoked about those, you know what I mean? But you know, just you gotta nerd out, dude.
Yeah, my son dug into his closet this weekend and he pulled out his Pokemon cards. So we're going through those, and unfortunately we couldn't find any of his good ones. We don't know where they went. So that's the new mission now.
You know, when those first came out in like 90, I don't know, was it like 96 or 97, whenever they first came out, I used to make fun of everybody for collecting those. Cause I was real big into sports cards. I'm like, why are you buying these little Japanese cards?
Yeah. All those weird things.
Gosh, I wish I would have invested in those in the originals. Yeah.
Those things are huge now. And it's crazy because my son wasn't even really into him, but I was coaching a teenager's baseball team a couple years back, and one of the kids knew JJ was into baseball cards, and he just brought this big old plastic bin, and he's like, here, take these, JJ, and it was all his old Pokemon cards. Oh, and there were some that I'm sure were we don't know the difference. But
that's my biggest regret is I was real big into baseball cards, but I realized like it was an addiction. It was like doing heroin. Every time I would spend $300, $400 on a box or whatever, you know, it was the real big rise. And then, you know, you got something that's great. You know, otherwise if you spend $400 on a box and you get like $50 worth of cards, you're like, ugh. So I ended up just selling my collection right before the whole PSA thing really started taking off. Like, man, I wish I would have just held on a little bit longer and started to get all my stuff graded, because it would have.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're worth that much, John, right? Because the mass production back then.
No, my stuff, the baseball cards, like, because, you know, I had like the Jeter foil rookies and the Griffey rookies. And I had, you know, a bunch of the old, you know, like the old 60s Fleer, you know, sets and all kinds of stuff. And I just was like, I got to get out of this, because I didn't get into heroin or anything like that, but baseball cards were really my drug. And it was like, I just got to get rid of all this stuff. But now that all this PSA stuff is starting to come around, I'm like, man, I wish I'd have kept some of that stuff just to grade. Cause I know some of them would have turned out. Well, I know some of them would have turned out really well, cause I sold them to two of my best friends and they got them graded, and they're sending me pictures like, hey, remember this card? This came back. Yeah. This came back as a PSA 10. Thanks for this $10,000 card.
Yeah. Yeah, man. The new like UFC cards are shit. Like the Panini stuff, they overdo it. Like I've got a few here and they're all like, they do so many different ones. Like this is Muhammad Makhachev. This dude is supposed to be like a double champ, but it's like, it's not worth shit at all. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's just because people don't know anything about UFC cards yet.
Yeah, once maybe it will be worth something, but there's so many.
But again, remember,
still kind of niche.
It's like hockey cards. Hockey cards aren't worth shit.
Yeah, right? Unless you got a Gretzky rookie, or, well, I guess that's it. A Gretzky rookie from
maybe Lemieux or Crosby or something like that.
Yager, you know, some of the older guys. Yeah. You know, Sidney Crosby, maybe some of the, you know, or Ovechkin or something like that. But nobody really knows what they are or who they are.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh man. All right, gentlemen. I think we're going to wrap it here. I got to work tomorrow freaking wicked early. I got a 5 o'clock meeting, so I'm not looking forward to that one.
5 a.m., huh?
Yeah.
That was a Northeastern phrase, wasn't it? Wicked early.
Yeah.
Wicked early.
Fucking Europeans, man. They're so far ahead of us time-wise that we have to cater to them. And it's like, damn, man, 5 a.m. after a 4-day weekend, because I took Friday off. I was like, this is a kick in the balls.
If they're in Britain, that's they're probably just doing it just because they're still a little bitter about the whole revolution, you know?
It's Denmark.
Well, yeah.
Eh, they got windmills.
Who knows what the Danes are up to?
They're eating fish, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable, man.
Herring. They're big on herring.
Yeah, I don't get that shit. I don't understand at all, man. No thanks. So, John, where can they find you, my friend?
So I am on all the podcatchers, you know, your Spotify's, your Apple Podcasts, whatever else Spotify puts it out there. It's a How the Hell Did We Wind Up Here podcast. And basically it takes base, you know, anybody who comes on, just everybody knows that something's wrong with the world. Everybody's kind of got a different way to look at it. And so it's just kind of talking about, you know, what they see and the things that led up to it versus just, you know, throwing out kind of keywords or phrases that, you know, the podcast community is famous for, but really just being able to say, look, this is what's wrong. This is kind of how we got here. You know, maybe being able to talk about how to get out of it a little bit, you know, whether it's grow your own food or homeschool or whatever it is. Tomorrow night though, I will plug this. I'm really excited about this. My 16-year-old and three of his friends have started to listen to the podcast that I do, and they want to come on and they want to talk about how technology has ruined their generation. That it was their idea. They're all about it. So we'll see what sitting down with four 16-year-olds brings, but should be a lot of fun.
Dude, that's a great idea, man. Cause I just did a show. I recorded it and it'll be out this week with Matthew Smith and this guy, Chris from Old World Exploration. And we talked about fatherhood, you know, in today's world and how, you know, what we do with our kids and what you have to be aware of and shit like that. And we got the idea because Chris did a show with his two young kids and had them on there. And they were, you know, I think they were doing more of like just looking at old buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah. But
I think it's a great idea to get kids involved in this. And especially.
Yeah, it was their idea. They've been bugging
that's
me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
To be able to come on. They're like, hey, we want to come on. We want to sit and talk about this. And I'm like, okay, let me get your parents' permission first. Cause y'all are, you know, you're 16, you're still minors. I gotta, you know, gotta do it the right way. But their parents are for it and they want to come on. So it should be good. Should be fun.
That's awesome.
Do some anti-grooming is what we call that, right?
And hopefully we'll be able to do this about once a month with them is the plan. So
I like that idea, man. It's a great concept.
And didn't you release that episode on your Patreon already, Matt?
What's that? With John?
Yeah, with John.
I put it out to everybody. About being a dad. People loved it, man. People really enjoyed that. They're like, that was a good conversation.
Yeah, that's good.
Should be fun.
Excellent. Oh, yeah.
I may have to get a dictionary, though, what kids these days say. Like, it's lit or that's Riz.
Oh,
or,
dude.
You know Riz?
Whatever else.
Mid is like mid. Decent, right?
Right.
What else?
Yeah, the funny thing is I had to ask my 16-year-old today. I was like, what does this mean? I watched this video. What does this mean? And what does this mean? He's like, oh, dad. I'm like, just tell me, please.
Do I go through that with my 10-year-old, John? I mean, it's insane. We're watching like he loves YouTube shorts. And
yeah,
I'm like, what does that mean? What is he talking about right now, bud? And he's like, do I have to explain it to you? He's getting frustrated with me. I'm like, dude, give me a break, man. I'm almost 45 years old. I can't keep up with this teenage shit.
It's almost like he's the parent now trying to explain to you.
Yeah. Yeah, getting frustrated with me because I keep asking questions.
Yeah.
You ought to start it, John, with like five terms that the kids explain to you.
You know what? I think I'll do that. I will.
Yeah, like kind of an urban dictionary type thing.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll do that. I'll be like, hey, before we start, I need definitions on these five terms.
That's great.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah. So no, it's been good. You know, the podcast is still in its infancy stage. I think it'll be like episode 11 or 12 or something like that. So, but it's been good. It's had a good response. You know, anybody who's come on has had a good, you know, they enjoy the being able to just come on and just kind of talk about the things that they want. And, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, you'll never, my biggest thing on the podcast is you'll never hear the phrase you're wrong. You may hear like, I don't see it that way, or I may not necessarily agree, but you know, it's your opinion. It's how you see things. And as long as it's not like, you know, something just absolutely horrible, then you know what? Come on, let's talk about it. And if somebody else listens to it and gleans something from it, then that's all we want. So
No maps are welcome, right?
Exactly.
That's what you're talking about. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Oh, man. Well, John, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So this has been good. Thank you.
Definitely. So what's going on in your neck of the woods, Rye?
Same old stuff, man. As always, just another fun, you know, Monday night thing. This was cool just to do on a Labor Day. Labor Day is the holiday today, right?
Yeah. We get a day. With Memorial. Get a month.
All day, okay. Even.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. Most people just still work today, so it's kind of a pointless holiday in my opinion. What is the point of it even? I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, thanks to anyone that did work, I guess. I don't know. What do we say?
Kind of like the unofficial end of summer in most, at least up here.
Right. Corporate was speaking.
It's a teacher holiday is all it is.
Yeah.
Right. And a bank holiday.
Student holiday.
It's so they can ease in back into school. I know they did that by us. They went for 3 days, had a 4 day week, a 4 day weekend, and then they'll have a 4 day week of school next week. And then they'll finally, in the third week, get up to 5 days.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's the end of the 100 days of summer. Here in Tucson, we've got 265 days of summer. You know what I mean? So we got another 50 days or so left. But yeah, man, just another fun one, dude. I appreciate the baseball debate. You know, I think that's a fun conversation to have. Like, you know, people got to fucking, you know, talk about things. And, you know, it's nice that you guys are passionate about baseball and you don't get all butthurt about me not being a big fan of baseball. I'll bet on it all day. You know what I mean? But I'm not a fan of baseball. But
you're more than welcome to be wrong, Ryan, anytime.
Hey, that's fine. You know what I mean? You know, softball and baseball, same shit. No, I'm just kidding. No, dude, it's fun to have those kind of conversations, and you guys, you know, are good sports about it, dude. So I think that's kind of cool. That's what Brandon used to do with me, was like, you know, I had something that I'm passionate about and he'd push back and I'd be like, no, dude, like, this is how I feel. And, you know, it's important that you guys don't get all butthurt. So that's cool. You know, I you know, respect that. So other than that, dude, that's it for me. But what about you, Matt? What do you got going on?
Dude, I had a busy weekend. I recorded a couple shows just to get ahead. And so I got this week and next week covered, which is good. Like I said, we did the fatherhood conversation. That'll come out this week. And then I did a COVID clip show of all the disinformation and misinformation that the officials gave to us along the way. So, and just let people realize how crazy it was and how it slowly rolled into where we got to today. And hopefully people push back next time, because it was pure insanity and none of it made sense. And it was just all double speak and lies and manipulation. And
man, I hope so, because it's coming again.
It really, I don't know. I think they're going to try, but I think it's going to fail miserably. I
was telling my wife the other night, I really don't think it's going to happen. I think if they're announcing it, I think it's just a distraction technique to keep us from looking at something else.
Yeah. Well, and Lionsgate
or whoever will come in and be like, oh, look, we stopped it. We didn't do it. So you should vote for us.
Yeah. It's like Lionsgate. I mean, they put in a mask policy. First of all the actors are on strike. So who the fuck is even working for Lionsgate right now?
Right.
But then I saw over the weekend that they rescinded it and they took away that policy. So there's no mask mandate anymore. Like it's all just nonsense. You know, when it boils down to it, there's no science behind it. And there's all these peer-reviewed studies now that show the real side of things. And that was the big argument before, was that there were studies out there, but they weren't peer-reviewed. Well, now they're peer-reviewed.
This will be different. And hey, guys, it's a great time to have a conspiratorially themed podcast.
Oh, the next 15 months?
So you guys will have endless content. Don't you worry.
This is going to be the gravy train of podcasting. It's a circus.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. So just buckle up and we'll all have a good time.
And we're still balls deep in Ukraine. You know, that's always a story to go after, you know, because what the fuck are we doing there? And you got the madness in Maui, and it's all over. I mean, I don't think you've heard the end of that story either. That's ramping up. And
yeah, I think there will be a massive disaster in another American city here before the election too. Yes. That's my hot take.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's amazing. So awesome, guys. Again, thank you all. I appreciate it. And everybody stay strong.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.